Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, what have you been doing all week? Well, it hasn't been that wonderful over here on Pastor Steph's side, but as always, God is so good. As I am on the mend, I'm feeling much better. Thank you for asking. And, you know, this is a new year for us, those of us who commemorate Jesus' death and resurrection by way of Lord's Supper. This weekend was a huge weekend, and we had our Lord's Supper on Sunday evening. And it was amazing. Yes, it was an amazing experience as we, like I said, commemorated and, you know, took the body and the blood, you know, and, you know, to higher heights, you know, the thing that Jesus did for us was really extraordinary, and unlike anything else anyone else will ever do for you. Yeah. And, you know, it just, you know, makes you reflect, like a lot of people do for their birthday or, you know, January 1st. You know, it really makes you reflect over the year that you've last spent. You know, what did you do right? What did you do wrong? What could you do better? What did you leave in the past? What you're bringing into this new year? And it's a very humbling and really thought-provoking period. And, you know, I just give God thanks because He's so merciful. So merciful to each of us who have, you know, awakened this morning, who He has touched on this morning, who he has given His truth to. And, you know, the scary part about it is there are so many people that have been given the truth and they've done nothing with it. You know, everybody says, you know, I love the Lord and God is good and, you know, I give Him, as, you know, give Him my life. But, you know, when you go through that period and you're washing feet like Jesus did. And, you know, that's a humbling experience all in and of itself. And you're thinking about the sacrifice that was made, and you're thinking about who God, you know, sent, his only son, you know, someone who was close to him, someone who came from him. And when I keep watching and hearing people who know the truth do nothing with it, I just shiver, because I realize that people really think this is a joke. They really think it's a joke. You really think that I can do whatever I want to do. I can believe that my life is mine. It belongs to me. And in actuality, your life doesn't belong to you. Our life doesn't belong to us. I've watched God usher us straight into some things and we turn our back on it. I've watched God give us things that we don't deserve and people just turn their back on it. And it's like nothing. And, you know, some people say, well, how do you know what it means? You know, God says it. It's in your actions. If you love me, keep my commandments. Nice and simple. Nice and simple. And when you look at the commandments, you actually understand, when you dig deep into the commandments, it covers everything. Just like we said, you know, the Bible itself covers everything. There's nothing you'll experience in this world that this Bible won't cover. Well, so do the commandments. It covers everything. You know, it took me a really long time to realize that the Ten Commandments were as thorough as they are. And it makes sense even more when you understand how broad the commandments are. You understand when it means if you break one, you break them all. It's like, wow. You don't think about it like that. No, when you just, you know, learn it and you just, you know, it's all just sinking in. It doesn't hit you like that until later. And you're like, ooh. Well, if I think about this thing, if I committed adultery, I've broken all the commandments. Why? Because I've stolen somebody else's spouse. I've lied, so I bear false witness. You know, it's just like, you look and see how broad this thing is. Like, yo, what's going on? Did God create a list for us to live by that encompasses every part of our life? And it's like the answer is, yeah. Oh, I'm just giving God thanks for his awareness. And, you know, just being able to sit back and, like I said, kind of survey the past year and watch others make a mockery and just thank God that I'm no longer there. I'm no longer there. Now, I'm not better than anyone, but I'm not there anymore. And I may not be where, you know, where I'm headed to or where some may think, but the Lord, I am allowing the Lord to do a whole lot in me. So I encourage you to come on. You know, I may not be where I should be because of the time that I wasted and I gave away, but no more. That's my declaration. You know, no more. So come on, get on that bandwagon. Help others understand the no more concept. And when you say no more, it's so broad, but yet so narrow. You're not willing to go down for anything or anybody. The Lord says, if you put mother, father, sister, brother, anybody before me, you are none of mine, and I'm definitely not going down like that. Nah. God has too much for Pastor Steph to throw it in for, you know, for someone else. So I hope you're on that same bandwagon, that your life is living what God wants, not your mouth. Ooh. Well, today is Wow Wednesday. And we're here. We're here in the middle of the week already. It's like, where did the week go? Where did the week go? So grateful to God that he has spared our life, that we are here in the middle of the week, and we want for nothing. We want for nothing. That's enough to say, wow. How many people are hungry? How many people are homeless? How many people don't have a job? Oh, my. So come on, let's get this Wow Wednesday going. Alrighty. Alright, we're going to get our girl Vivian on in a couple minutes. And what more can we ask of God than to put a smile on our face? Alrighty. Alrighty. So, come on. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Come on. Let's tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do. Don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
When someone you love is diagnosed with an incurable disease, the most important thing is making the most of the time they have left. Nearly 1 million people in the USA are living with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. For a small percentage of those with Parkinson's, their disease progresses more quickly, and their main Parkinson's drugs don't work effectively. Multiple system atrophy, or MSA, is a disease that is often misdiagnosed as Parkinson's. Many of the symptoms are the same, but MSA progresses much more quickly, and also has other symptoms, like very low blood pressure, speech that is slurred and or low in volume, fatigue, muscle weakness, and more. Learn more about the differences between Parkinson's disease and multiple system atrophy.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday. Ooh, already we are halfway through the week, giving God thanks for all he's done in our lives, bringing us safely in our right frame of mind. And I don't know about you, but I may not be feeling all that well, but I am grateful. If you're grateful, say, I'm grateful. Amen. Well, let's not utilize any more of your time. Let's get to our girl, Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. Are you grateful? Say grateful.
I'm grateful.
Amen, amen, and amen. Wow. We're about to get our morning started, and you know what I always like to ask? All right, what you got for us today?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off with some news for the New Yorkers. Governor Kathy Hochul just signed off on a portion of the state budget on Monday that includes SAMI's law, which allows New York City to lower its speed limit to 20 miles per hour from 25 miles per hour. The bill is named after 12-year-old Sammy Cohen Eckstein, who was killed in Park Slope by a speeding car while trying to grab a soccer ball in the street in 2013. Reports say that over 100 more children have since been killed in traffic collisions in New York City, according to city crash data. The law would not apply to streets with three or more lanes in one direction, which we know is not many. New York City's speed limit has been 25 miles per hour for the past 10 years. Former Mayor Bill de Blasio had persuaded lawmakers to drop the speed limit from 30 miles per hour to 25 miles per hour, and that was 10 years ago. So if put into effect, New York City will be joining Washington, D.C. and Seattle, who both have 20-mile-per-hour speed limits, with the two cities citing pedestrian safety as their reasoning. Next, officials also want New York to know if you plan on flying next summer, you may be denied boarding if you don't have the right ID card. So after the deadline was delayed three times due to COVID-19, Americans now have just over a year to acquire a real ID, the new form of identification that will soon be required for domestic air travel. Starting May 7th of 2025, the federal government will require those boarding domestic flights to carry a driver's license or other identification card that is real ID compliant. The New York State Department of Motor Vehicles offers residents two options, a standard real ID or an enhanced ID. Both the real ID and the enhanced ID will allow travelers to board domestic flights and enter some federal buildings. However, enhanced IDs will also allow residents to cross United States land and sea borders from Canada, Mexico, and some Caribbean countries without the need for a passport. So if you were looking into getting one, if you need one, if you plan on traveling and don't have that or your passport, time is running out for you to acquire that. So make sure you get on it. Next, out in Tennessee, lawmakers passed a bill to allow armed teachers. This comes a year after in Tennessee a shooter opened fire in March of 2023 at the Covenant School, a Christian school in Nashville, and he killed three children and three adults before being killed by police. The bill was passed on Tuesday, and it would allow some teachers and staff to carry concealed handguns on public school grounds, and it will also bar parents and other teachers from knowing who is armed. Even if it does become official, a principal, school district, and law enforcement agency would have to agree to let staff carry guns. Under the bill passed on Tuesday, a worker who wants to carry a handgun would need to have a handgun carry permit, written authorization from the school's principal and law enforcement. They would also need to clear a background check and undergo 40 hours of handgun training. They couldn't carry guns at school events, at stadiums, gymnasiums, or auditoriums. So there are some rules and regulations, but this law has been signed, and they're trying to make this a thing out there in Tennessee. Lastly, New York City has been recently ordered to pay back $18.8 million that it kept away from children in foster care. They say New York City kept $18.8 million in funds intended for children in foster care whose parents had died. They just recently changed the policy. So the Social Security benefits were collected by the Administration for Children's Services between 2011 and 2022 on behalf of children in foster care and used to cover the cost of care. The Legal Aid Society is now calling on ACS to retroactively reimburse any and all children who had their benefits taken before the policy changed in 2022. They just made the change that instead of giving it to the children, that they will put it away for the children so that when they're no longer in foster care, they will be able to receive that money to help them in jumpstarting their new life as independent children or independent adults. But until then, they were supposed to be giving this money to the parents. And for whatever the reason was, the children were not receiving that money. And now New York City has to pay back the $18.8 million. And now for our wow story of the week, which is a listener submitted story. So we often talk about this microwave generation, this microwave society, and we just came across a story that talks about drive-through weddings out in Massachusetts. Couples that are looking for a quick way to tie the knot, the drive-through wedding is perfect for you, they say. It's fast, fun, and has couples married in less than 15 minutes. The site says, quote, "We are happy to bring drive-through services to Massachusetts and surrounding areas near you. Our drive-through chapels allow couples to save time and money while also having a stress-free and memorable experience to look back on. They're perfect for couples who want to spend the day with just the two of them and avoid the hassle of hosting a large ceremony." Excuse me. So they're saying that the drive-through weddings are affordable. They will cost about $250. They also give you an option of renting a convertible car for an additional $50 if you don't have a car or if you just choose to use their convertible. It will take, again, about 15 minutes, and all the legal paperwork will be done for you. So, of course, we want to hear from our listeners. If you are digging this drive-through wedding idea, 15 minutes, $250, and you are legally married, or are they taking this this microwave term a little too far? But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is VivianBM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Seth.
Thank you, Vivian. Wow, some interesting stuff going on here. All right. Well, since our elder and I teach, I think she missed the first couple of stories. We're going to start with our Lady Tamika this morning. So let's say good morning to Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday to you, our ladies, and of course, our
all right. How are you today?
I am well. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. Well, thank you for joining us. So, we have Governor Hochul, who signed in Stanley's law, which lowers the speed limit from 25 miles per hour to 20 miles per hour after the 13-year-old was killed in Park Slope. And it's been 25 for about 10 years now, coming down from 30. So, you know, they still have some concern here, along with two other states. What do you think about this shift in, you know, the mileage?
Well, to be honest, as a new driver, it's extremely helpful for me. I'm out there, and when I tell you the things that people do, it's ridiculous. You know, they're literally right upon you, you know, before the light can change. Like, it's like they're sitting on E, you know, or on go, ready for the light to change. Before you can even move, they're honking and, you know, just cutting people off. And, you know, this is just every day. People are not patient, you know. We're talking about microwave, you're trying to get there, you know. And my thing is, if you don't allow yourself ample time, then of course you're going to be rushing. You know, get out there, you know. I, as a new driver, because it takes me a while, I leave an extra half an hour early so that I can make, you know, where I need to be. I'm not speeding. I'm not rushing, you know. And not only that, because of all of those things that are going on a daily basis, they're putting those red light tickets, those things, they're putting in areas that,
oh yeah,
we're not used to, you know. Even in newer areas, we got a ticket, not me, but we got a ticket recently because it's now there's a red light ticket area that's in other areas. If you're going down, for instance, if you're in New York, King's Highway, you know, there are other areas where, you know, now at this point, if you go past a yellow light, you know, if you're 29 or above in the speed limit, you're getting a ticket. You know, you don't realize it at that point, but then when you see that light, that click, click, you automatically know, oh, shucks, I got a ticket. So, you know, I personally, you know, and this is, you know, because of where I am right now, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, they're putting up a lot of more, they're putting up a lot more red light cameras. So, like you said, click, click, know that you've been caught. Let's say good morning to Shantice and see what she has to say about this law that's gone from 25 miles per hour to 20. What say you, Shantice? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I say this is going to be... I'm fine, thank you. I'm sorry. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a whole lot more disgruntled drivers out driving because they're mad that the speed limit is now 20 miles per hour. They couldn't even handle the 25. They can't handle the 55. So now that it's 20, it's really going to be a whole lot of hostility on the road. I was like, it's going to get to the point where ain't nobody going to be moving. Because they're going to be lowering the ceiling. Soon it's going to be, you drive in your mind. You go outside, you get in your car. No one's car has an engine because everyone just drives in their mind. It's just like everyone has to, you know, push aside the fact of being upset and consider, you know, where I can guarantee that this speed limit will mainly be in the school zones, certain residential areas. You know, it's not going to be everywhere, but it will definitely still help to, if you're abiding by that speed limit in those areas, then you'll automatically, you know, be a lot more cautious in the other areas. You know, because there's certain areas where I don't understand it, but I don't remember where I was driving once. But it was literally like every other block was a different speed limit. And I was like, okay, what sense does this make? Because y'all, when this block is 20 miles per hour, you go up, it's 35 miles, and then when you hit the next corner, it's down to 30. So it's like, are y'all just trying to set people up to get a ticket. I don't know what that was about, but, you know, it just goes to show that, you know what, let me just do 25. That way, no matter how this speed limit fluctuates, I'll be going 25 miles per hour. So I'm just hoping that that'll, you know, will help to keep everyone at a decent speed limit, that whether you're in that 20 miles per hour zone or not, you'll still be doing that. And just thinking about how, especially with the weather changing now, you really have to be careful with the kids darting out and the adults darting out into the streets.
Okay. Thank you for joining us this morning, Vivian. What do you think about this 20 mile per hour you know, restriction now?
I think that it's, I don't think it's going to help. I think that it's a little extreme. But at the same time, in New York, the way the traffic works, you ain't going above 15 anyway, so I don't know if it'll really matter. And the reason, the boy that they named it after, you know, the incident was not the driver was driving the speed limit. He or she was speeding. The boy darted out into the road and got hit and was killed. So I'm not really seeing why putting it down to 20 from 25 is really going to help, because a lot of the times these children are being killed because of people who ain't paying the speed limit no mind anyway. So really dropping it is not going to stop these people from speeding. They're still going to do what they want to do anyway. It might make the city more money because you'll be getting more speed tickets, because now the speed limit is 20 and not 25. But as far as helping the kids, you know, trying to keep them from being killed by these speeding cars, I don't see how that's going to help them.
Okay. All right, Elder Nitesha, we're up to you. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Elder Nitesha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Good. All right, so what's your thought on this reduction from 25 to 20 miles per hour here in New York?
As you were asking Tamika and asking everyone, I was literally driving in driving into work, and I looked at the speed limit, and the speed limit here in Cincinnati on the little road was 35, and I was doing 42, and I was like, ooh, I guess they're talking about me. But I think it's going to be frustrating, right, to experienced drivers who feel like, listen, I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get to my destination. But at the same time, at what expense, right? And so, you know, I think if we just all calm down, I think what it's all resulting to is the fact that we're just so in a rush. We're in a rush to get, you know, to get to places. Even when you got plenty of time, I have time, but I want to get there. I want to get to my destination. It's like, just calm down. You're going to get there, but you don't have to injure anybody, put anybody in danger to get there. And so, you know, it's going to be frustrating, but sometimes things that are necessary are frustrating.
Okay. As you ladies were talking, what came past my mind was a campaign that they had at one time where it showed someone, a little girl, being struck by a car at like 20 or 25, and then her being struck by a car at 30, like 5 miles per hour faster. And they showed the difference in the results. You know, she was much worse even at 5 miles per hour, you know, than she was at the lower rate of speed. And it's, you know, as a driver, once you put your foot on the gas pedal, you're already at 20. So I can't imagine the frustration in driving at 20 miles per hour now, because you know, once you put your foot on, you're going to be past 20 miles per hour. So, you know, this is going to be very challenging, but, you know, calling it, you know, Stanley's Law, you know, for whatever the reason they did, does not dismiss that another child or another person or whoever, you know, because 20 miles per hour for a child is different than 20 miles per hour for an adult. So I'm sure they would have had to probably name it after a child. So, you know, as, you know, to Vivian's point of, you know, somebody darting out in front of a car, especially a young child, at any rate of speed is going to cause some damage. So this, I can only imagine a whole lot of honking, a whole lot of, you know, pressing. You know, sometimes, like Lady Tamika said, before you're sitting at a light, before the light changes and you can lift your foot up off the brake, they're already honking. It's like, well, yo, I haven't even had an opportunity to respond to the light changing. So this is going to be real interesting. And I do believe, one of the reasons why they lowered the speed limit is to get more money, because I can guarantee you it's going to be a whole lot of people with this infraction, because it's going to be almost impossible to do 20. So maybe the real allowance would be 25, and they won't bother you, but anything past 25, mm-hmm. they will. So maybe that's the way they plan on playing this, because I'm telling, as a driver, once you put your foot on the gas pedal, you're already at 20. So, let's see how this works. Well, we're talking about this enhanced ID that they have been working at since like 2018. And because of COVID, it's been pushed to the back burner over and over again. So now, as of May 20th, 25, God spares our life, we must have this more modern. Now, I'm a little confused, because back then you only could have the enhanced ID. Everybody had to have an enhanced. That was the conversion from a regular ID or driver's license to an enhanced. And that's not quite what's being reported now. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Shantis? I think, did you ever get the enhanced?
I sure did. When we were supposed to go away at the tail end of 2019, because we were allowed to get on the cruise with an enhanced ID. We didn't have to have a passport. So I did get that. So I've had it since, you know, December of 2019. And I do remember them saying that everyone, like pretty much once it was time for you to renew your driver's license, it had to be an enhanced one. And I remember saying, oh, well, I'm glad I already got an enhanced one. So I was a little set back too, like, okay, so then what's the difference in, you know, you saying, well, you have to have that when everyone was supposed to have it anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I missed something or maybe they didn't list, you know, something, but I do remember that being a thing and a few people kind of like not really complaining but inquiring, like, well, how much is that going to cost, because it costs this amount to renew my license, but now that I have to get an enhanced license, how much more is that going to be? And that's another reason why I remember them mandating that. But yeah, I already got mine, so I'll be in your suitcase, Pastor Seth.
All righty, all righty. Vivian, did you ever get the enhanced ID?
No, I did not. And I'm along with you. I'm a bit confused, because I actually had to renew my driver's license because it was expiring. And the only thing that they required for me to do, because I wear glasses, is to get my eyes checked and give the doctor's note clearing me or whatever. I had to go to the eye doctor and take the test, and the doctor had to sign the paper. I had to scan in all this stuff. They didn't push me or require me to get an enhanced or real or anything like that. Now, I do have my passport, so I'm not really concerned about it, but, you know, if you don't know, then, or if they're not pushing it, then You know, you're not even gonna think twice about just getting a regular ID, because that's what they're offering you when you go to the DMV anyway. So if they're not pushing for this, then how can they now be requiring people to have a specific type of ID?
Yeah, this is a little unclear. Eldena Tasha, what about you? Did you get the enhanced? Are you
No, I didn't.
But
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I didn't. And I just had to change mine over to Chicago, and the same like Vivian. They didn't require or even offer that. And I don't, maybe it's because I use my passport as my ID. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. And what about you, Lady Tamika, as a brand new ID holder, what did they mandate you do?
They actually mandated, for the most part, for me to get it. You know, they said, you can go ahead and get your regular license, but in a few months we're going to, you know, push you to get the real ID, you know, and there was like a lot of back and forth, and it didn't make sense to me at that time. And it's honestly, it still doesn't make sense to me now. You know, as someone who has a passport, then what's the value for the passport, you know? So when I travel, especially if I'm traveling, you know, if I know I'm going to fly anywhere, I normally use my passport. So now you no longer need the passport. So, and that was the other question that I asked the lady at the time. I said, well, I have a passport, you know, and it's going to expire. So should I go ahead and get a new passport? And she honestly couldn't answer me. So, like, you know, if you're going to do something, then, you know, let everybody know, okay, so then what's the value for a passport? So we're no longer going to need that. We're just going to use this real ID for everywhere we go. Right. Obviously, it's one of those issues where I feel like, again, they put the cart before the horse. They haven't even given their employees the information so that they can give those that are, you know, the people that they serve, what's what, so that we know, okay, all right, fine, I got this real ID. Am I going to have to, after 2-3 years, you know, like your driver's license, am I going to have to change it every 4 years, every 8 years? What's the particular? What's the purpose of now getting a passport? If you don't have a passport, do you need one? Will you ever need one? Is it just the real ID now?
All right. So let me answer your question. And for anyone who's listening, actually, who's unclear. Okay. So, like I said, back during 18, in early 19, they started mandating, because they were converting everybody, whether you had a state ID or whether you had a driver's license, you had to get the enhanced, because they wanted you to have some, it was considered federal now. See, right now, it started off with just state, but they were converting to a federal ID. So the federal government would now govern opposed to state regulations. So what they did was they alerted everyone that you had to convert. So when you went to, you could go on your own, or you could go in advance, or you could wait until your ID was actually expiring. Some people and waited until it was their turn, you know, their ID was expiring. Others went ahead of the game. Again, COVID interrupted that, because here's what happened. When you were converting over from state ID to the federal, also known as the enhanced ID, you were forced to take a brand new picture. It didn't matter how recent your picture was. It was mandated that you would take a picture. It didn't matter. So you had to go in person. When COVID came through, that actually stopped, of course, the in-person visitation to DMV. So what they were forced to do, because I, like a couple of you, I had my ID expired in 20. So all they wanted you to do, like was said, is you had to, I had to go to the eyeglass place, like Vivian said, get them to sign off that I passed the vision test. I had to scan it, send it over, and they automatically renewed it through the mail with your old picture, because they have no other choice at that point, because they did not, you know, allow you to come into the office. Well, I don't know if any of you, you know, how many of you realize DMV was one of the last people to even allow you in person. Still, they are under, like, very strict regulation where they don't even allow you just to walk up in the office anymore. So now, as Vivian said in her report, they had dates 2 and 3 times since this initial 18 and 19. Oh, you had to have it in October. Oh, you had to have it in this day. Everybody had, but DMV wasn't opening to everybody. It wasn't, you had to go by appointment only. So now that, you know, DMV is appointment only, but, you know, you can get up in there by May 20 of 25, everybody should be able to get into DMV, take that picture that they wanted, and now have the official enhanced ID. Now, as to your question, Lady Tamika, about the difference. So, your enhanced ID would allow you to go past Canada, Mexico, and some Caribbean islands, like Vivian said. The difference between, because I had to do the research, because I, at the same time, I had just gotten my passport when they started this whole enhanced thing. I was like, well, what's the, I didn't spend all this money getting the book, getting the passport. So now you're telling me all I need is the ID that is equivalent to the book. The passport book allows you Canada, Mexico, and some Caribbean islands, if like if you're going to cruise. The difference between that and your regular passport is you need your regular passport to go anywhere else internationally other than those three areas. So, yes, you still need your regular passport. If you want to go to Italy, if you want to go to Spain, if you want to go here, you need that original passport. Your enhanced ID or that little passport book will not be enough to go internationally. You do need it. So if it has expired, do not think that this enhanced ID is going to allow you entry into other countries. Because it won't. It only allows you those three areas. Again, Canada, Mexico, and some Caribbean islands. So those of you who have not gotten your passport, those of you who have delayed it, now you can go forward knowing that this is going to still be mandated. Your regular passport is going to be used to enter into the countries. So that's the full explanation of this whole enhanced ID and all of this. So make your appointment, y'all, because, you know, out here, they're not allowing you just to walk up in DMV anymore. So make your appointment, take your picture, do whatever you need to do by May 20th, because you don't want to be stuck. Go ahead and get the enhanced ID. Get it out the way. It is a couple of extra dollars. It started off costing more than the standard ID. And some of them came in were saying not for government or federal purposes. Even it was even making that distinction. So go ahead and get it out the way, and that way you don't have to worry about readdressing this thing or not being able to travel or being stopped or whatever and not having what you need to have. It'll be already done. All right, hope I've cleared that up for all of you. All right, another bill that has been talked about over and over in several states, Tennessee, they are now going to allow armed teachers, but there's going to be some restrictions. From what I understand, if I get this correctly, principals will have to allow these teachers to actually have this gun on the premises. You must have a handgun carry permit. You have to clear background checks. You've got to do, you know, some other stuff. So it's not going to be just this 1-2-3 process, but they're not going to be able to even bring it into the gyms or the auditoriums, and that's kind of self-explanatory. What do you think, Vivian? Do you think this is a good idea to, you know, allow these teachers to bring the guns on the premises?
No, I don't. I don't. First off, I say, ain't nothing secret. They say that, oh, if, you know, if it's going you know, nobody will know who's carrying it. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. And what comes to my mind is the officer, the actual police officer who went up in the school to pick up his child and winded up leaving the gun in the bathroom stall, and the child found it.
Yep.
So imagine now you have all these teachers who are carrying and the potential that they can mistakenly leave their gun somewhere, drop it and not notice, or, you know, purposely do something. Like, I don't think this is a good idea at all. I don't think this is a good idea. And then, like, for me, I'm CPR first aid certified, but I remember the first time a child actually choked in my presence, and I panicked, and I was frozen, even though I know what to do. So if somebody walks up in this school with a gun, and even if you're carrying, there's no guarantee that they're going to, you know, be able to pull out their gun and save the day, which is what they're hoping will happen. They may panic. They may, you know, let off a shot and it hit the wrong person. I don't think this is a good idea at all.
Okay, okay. Elder Nitesha, should guns be brought into school by the teachers or not?
I mean, I understand, right, in lieu of mass shootings, why they're thinking that this could be an answer. I just think that what we may find later on down the road are more accidents that you know, where injuries and deaths occur because of the fact that guns are present. There's already a study that proves that having a gun in the house actually is more dangerous than not having a gun in the house. And there are studies that prove it, that say we understand you need to, you know, to protect yourself, but when you have children in the house, and even with adults, there are more accidental shootings and accidental deaths by guns than not. And so I think that we'll find later on down the road that there'll be the same thing for schools as well, that there'll end up being more accidental shootings because a child is aware that a teacher is carrying, goes to get it, to play with it, or when a teacher walks out quickly to have a conversation with another teacher, you know, to be making fun and doing things of that nature, and there'll be accidents. I just think that it's a scary thing.
All right. All right. That's two that say absolutely not. Lady Tamika, what side of the fence are you on?
I'm just concerned. The thing that bothers me is that we should feel that we should have the need for it at all, you know. Just goes to show you what's going on, you know, and the dynamic of schools and everything that we've ever known, you know. And so also we have to realize that when anyone has a gun, we bring ourselves with it. We've seen instances where someone had a gun, and they were given even the training, you know, and when the situation happened, they hit. You know, we've seen instances where the wrong individual has been shot, you know, and my concern is you go into the school and children talk, you know, one person found out that, you know, let's say Coach B has a gun, you know, and I could see, you know, just for one that instance, some way, somehow, they get access to a gun and shoot another student. You know, there's just so many, you have to be so very, very careful. You know, there's so many instances where somebody else can get hurt, the wrong person can get hurt, or the person who's committing the crime doesn't get what's due. And I'm not saying that death is always, you know, the ending. You know, you could shoot them in the leg, you know, just to minimize the criteria or the crisis at the moment. You know, I'm just all the more super concerned about having it in the facility with a teacher. You know, we've also seen instances where emotions transpire. You know, obviously, think about it this way. The reason why you can't have it in a gymnasium. People, you know, emotions get in an uproar. People are at a game, and all of a sudden you get mad and start to shoot. You know, teachers, not teachers, but we're talking about staff, coaches, and parents are, you know, going back and forth. I've seen that, you know, at a game, and because one person is trying to defend, you know, you brandish your gun. You know, and where I come from, if you show it, then you better use it, you know. And so all of those concerns, you know, get me really, really concerned about just the welfare of everyone that's involved.
Okay, that's three. Nope. Shantese, where do you stand on this? Guns in the skull with the faculty in the school or no? Are you talking to the mute button?
She's getting a passport ready.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what happened to Shantese. Okay, well, I guess she'll catch up with us. Okay, so I'll throw my hat in the... Yes?
I'm sorry. You realize my phone was on mute that whole time.
Okay, so what do you say, yes or no, gun in the school?
Absolutely not. And what is ringing the loudest to me is the principal will be able to determine who is bringing a gun in and not. So now the principal gets to allow their friends to bring a gun in. But the teachers they're not so cool with gets to know, like, how does that work? That alone is concerning. In addition to everything else that the lady said, that alone is just like, so now we got the favoritism going on in an area such as this. Oh, that's a bit too crazy.
Okay. My thought was the same thing with everything that you ladies have said, but my biggest thought was the principal having the say. And my thing is, we all know how this goes. You know, anytime you do things like that, you know, somebody is, you know, bringing a gun in who, you know, is the teacher's, is the principal's pet, if you will, their buddies, their friends. Mm-hmm. And how does that, to me, that is the quickest way to actually reveal who has the guns and who don't. Because, you know, mm-hmm. wait till you tell somebody no, and then they start talking. You know, oh, well, you know, I bet you so-and-so has, and I bet you so-and-so has, and all of this kind of stuff. And even if it's not true, but just because people are people. The other thing that came to my mind is, you know, we see how badly the actual police handle having a gun. What do we do now? You know, these teachers aren't taught mm-hmm. this. They are taught to be teachers. They are not taught to, you know, carry guns and all of this kind of stuff. I think this is going to be a bad idea because these are people. These are regular people, as been brought up. You talk about people who panic. You talk about people with itchy trigger fingers. Like I said, look at the police officers and how often that happens. I also think mm-hmm. about the fact that, you know, they go through training. They go through a rigorous training. Now, how they end up is another thing, but are you not putting teachers through the same training? They are not training. It's all emotion and instinct and, you know, and things like that. And as we know, your instinct can be off. Your, you know, your emotions can be off. And I think it leaves too much to error. I also think that now that teachers and staff will have guns, are able to have guns in school. That means guns at home, which means that children are exposed to this more than they would have been had the parent who's a faculty member would not have gotten a gun. So listen, just hire the proper individuals. Here in New York, we have school safety, which they're trained to do whatever they do from the police, the NYPD. Enhance that training. Go through the background checks. Do whatever you're going to do, but get the proper people so that they can focus. Let the teachers focus on teaching. Let the other people focus on guarding and safe, you know, keeping the school and the teachers and the students safe. I think let everyone have their place so that you have less incidences. Now you're holding people, the appropriate people, you know, accountable. Can you imagine a school where you don't know who has a gun? Oh, my gosh. I would never want to know that I just happened to be standing, we in the cafeteria, the teacher's room, and so-and-so busts out with a gun. That I ain't ready for all of that. I need you to tell me who has a gun. That's a Stephanie thing. So I think if everybody knows that school safety has a gun, you know, those people have guns, leave it there. Let them do their job. Let them focus. Let the teachers focus and just let it go from there. But this everybody can bring, and then you got, you know, pick and choose. No, that's not even a plan. Again, as we always say, it's not a plan. All right, now here's something that was really interesting that Vivian talked about this morning. New York City having to pay back $18.8 million. The Legal Aid Society is requiring them to repay the money that they got for children in the foster care system that they never gave to the families. Oh, Elder Natisha, you got the first leg on this one.
That's disgusting. As you know, someone who was part of the foster system or grew up in the foster system, the people who have taken on, you know, these children, they deserve to be compensated, to help, to take care of them. And the fact that New York City withheld those funds is absolutely disgusting. And again, what it shows is how two-faced we can be. Because on one hand, we'll, you know, be talking about how our children are the future, and we'll be setting up all of these programs, right? I think a couple of episodes ago, we talked about how you know, the mayor had enacted something to put money into programs for kids who don't want to go to high school, or for after high school trades and things of that nature them to get. So how can you come up with that and have funds put aside for that to try to enhance our children, yet withhold money from children and parents and families that are were gracious enough to take in foster kids? You know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take for us to come to the realization that we were not giving out those funds? Again, who's governing these things? Why did it take so long for us to come to the realization that the monies weren't being distributed? By month one, after the funds were released, we should have been looking at it and keeping tab on and saying, hey, the monies aren't moving, or where is the money moving to, because we're not seeing it actually go the way that we designated for it to go. The fact that it even takes so long for it to be noticed is problematic as well. Where's the governance to these things?
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Tamika, $18.8 million.
That is absolutely deplorable that someone who's due resources to benefit the child was not given. And at this point, when we're talking about situations where, you know, I've taken care of this child is now, you know, of mature age. So all of, you know, the resources now go to the child, or how does that work? You know, that, you know, if my child is now to the point where he or she is self-sufficient, do I get any of those resources, or does that go straight to the child? You know, and then my thing is, when you start dispersing resources, how do you tell what goes to whom when, especially if you've allowed this to go past unscathed for this length of time? You know, who, you know, how do I know that at this point you're really going to give the resources and you're not going to hold on to it from this point further? I think that is one of the worst things that you could do, you know, and it's another reinforcement that states that you say our children matter, but you don't show. So it's one of those do as I do, not as I say, which is horrible.
Shartese.
What caught me was Vivian saying something about, okay, so they're going to hold on to the money for the kids until they get older or something like that. And it was like, well, isn't that the issue now? That someone was holding the money? I don't understand. Like, what are you talking about? I thought that's what the point of the story was, that the money was being held and the family, you know, the kids were getting it, but now you're going to let us, you know, you're making us aware that you didn't get it, but we still going to hold it until they become of age. Like, no, listen, if the child is cool, get that child their money. Because obviously y'all are not responsible enough to hold on to the funds. And that's what I thought was being said. Like, it was somehow being held because, you know, a lot of times money is held for children, whether it's the family who does it, a family member who does it, or, you know, if it's left in a trust for a child, okay, the child can't touch this until they become 18. Or, you know, someone started a bank account for a child, the child can't touch it until they become 21 or something like that. But that wasn't the case. Y'all have already proven that you're negligent and that you're stealing this money. Because ain't nobody just sitting there holding all that money looking at it. Somebody didn't touch that money. So now you're talking about you're going to hold it again? No, thank you. Release those funds, and if you trust these adults to adopt these children, then you should trust them to hold on to the money that belongs to them. If not, then they shouldn't have these children in their possession along with the money. But no, it needs to be out of the hands of whoever it was supposed to be in, because that's horrible.
Vivian.
Yeah, that was one of the things that came to my mind as well, which I don't even understand, because if the child that's in foster care whose parent just passed or whatever the case is, don't I need the funds to be able to properly care for this child? So are you, like, giving half to the family and putting half away for the child? I don't even think that makes sense. And like Shanti said, if I couldn't trust you to give me the money as it came to you, you pass it right along to me, how can I trust that when I become of age that I'm going to get everything that was due to me so that I can start off my now, you know, my now adult life on the right foot? And it's really disgusting. I wonder if this is maybe one of the benefits of the migrant situation, because now they're looking for money to, you know, help these migrants. So now they're auditing everything in order to see if there's any extra income. And they were able to find this out, that there was $18.8 million kept from these children. I wonder how that was figured out. But, yeah, it's really disgusting to hear that they're, that this has happened.
You know, the first thing that came to my mind was the auditing process. One of the reasons why unclaimed funds from the state exist is because a company cannot hold an individual's money past a certain time. If that money cannot be found on your books. So if you were supposed to get a refund from Con Edison and the money was not returned in enough time, they are supposed to reach out to you, and when they cannot get in touch with you, they have to send it to the New York State Comptroller or the Comptroller of or whoever's manning the money for that state. A lot of people opt to leave their money there. Shame on you. I want every dime. If Con Edison owes me 5 cents, I want my money. Y'all could go ahead and leave your money there. I want mine. I'm telling you, I've gotten thousands of dollars that was sitting out there. So why am I bringing that up? Because trust me when I tell you, whatever area this has been sitting in, it hasn't been sitting in there, quote unquote. Because when this is audited on a regular basis, that is the whole point of the New York State Comptroller. That is one of their primary jobs. So you gonna tell me that New York State is sitting on money for how many? How could it possibly graduate to $18.8 million? Who was not? So who was sleeping at the wheel when it was $150 extra? Who was sitting at the wheel when it was $1,000 extra? Who's been sitting at the wheel all this time that it graduated to $18.8 million? No, that money ain't been sitting there. That money's been moved all around, all over the place, and now somebody's feet is being held to the fire because of the migrants. Because, and I said that to myself. I said, no, this ain't no loose money just sitting. How in the world that money just sitting up in an account, just growing and growing? And it went from $1 to $30 to $50 to $900 to $1 million, $18.8 million. Nah, that has not been sitting there. This money has been shuffled around, and now somebody woke up and said, wait a minute. Where this money, what's going on? Somebody's been messing with the money. Somebody's been moving the money. And now somebody's feet is being held to the fire. You better believe this ain't no the thing where somebody got this sitting in a bank account. Then who's been manning the bank account? No. You know, listen, $18.8 million is not over a year's time. This is some time that has gone by. So, you know what? Disperse the money now. Like you ladies have said, I'm not trusting you to hold it. Like Shantish, you said, it's been the problem holding it. Disperse the money now. These people need the money. Listen, if you've been holding $18.8 million, a whole lot of people have been suffering while you've been holding this and moving this around. So go ahead and give people the money, whether it's going to the child, whether it's going to – take your chances. Could it be any worse than what you've done with it? Are you really going to sit back and say now, oh, well, we don't really trust Ms. Jones to give, you know, little Mary her money? Well, y'all haven't been trustworthy either. So go ahead and trust Ms. Jones. You're supposed to be giving her money, whether it's Ms. Jones for the child or Ms. Jones for Ms. Jones, because she's been watching the child, however this goes. Go ahead and disperse that money. Get rid of that $18.8 million, because I promise you one thing, it might be $18.8 today, but in a few minutes it ain't going to be $18.8, because they're going to find their way to give it to the migrants. So get rid of it. Get rid of it. Put it out where it's supposed to go. And let the chips fall where they may. Go ahead and reprimand whoever, or tap them on the wrist or whatever, because, nah, this is bigger than what they're even saying it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was more than $18.8 million. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But, yeah, they are really playing games. Go ahead and get them. Now that the cat is out the bag, go ahead and start writing checks. Go ahead. Start finding out where these people deposit and put them on the cards, just like it did the migrants, and mail them out to the people or to the children. You figure it out. But never to hold it. They shouldn't even hold it until May 1st. Get rid of it right now. Period. You already know who should have gone to. Get rid of it. All right. Well, Vivian is asking, drive-through weddings for Massachusetts couples will be allowed, and they will be able to get it done in 15 team. It is no more wedding planners, no more rental halls, no more DJs, no more big menus, no more wedding gowns that cost $1,000, $2,000, $4,000. For a $250 fee, you can get married, all your legal paperwork done, and if you add another $50, you can get a convertible car from Massachusetts to rent. What say you, Lady Tamika? Do it or don't do it?
How did I know I was going to be first? How did I know?
You're on the rest. You're next on the rotation, girl. Go ahead and talk.
I get it. I get it. You know, weddings, as someone who recently got married almost a year ago, wow, next month. At any rate, with that being the case, I get it. I understand that, you know, things cost money, every little thing. And don't even go into a place and say, I'm having a wedding. As soon as you say, I'm having a wedding, you automatically see people's faces. You know, they got the calculator going. They got the pencils and the pens. You know, just something as simple as a cake costs extra money when you say wedding. If it's just, oh, I just want a cake, no problem. Soon as you say, I'm getting married, oh, my gosh, like the bills and everything is coming at you. I get it. But I can't get with the drive-through wedding, the, you know, in a couple of minutes, 15 minutes. You know, it I can't, you know, shame someone who feels like that's what they want to do, but really, 15 minutes, it just wouldn't be for me. I can't condone that. I just can't. The price probably, but the process, no.
All righty, Shantese.
Yes.
Quick way or not quick way?
Not quick way. Like, what are you doing? Oh, when she was saying it, it made me think of an episode. I think it was Girlfriends, when Maya and her ex-husband was getting remarried. They went through this type of, like, drive-through. I don't remember if they drove to Vegas or something. And it was some type of, like, drive-through ceremony that they went through. And it's just like, all right, you know, you got the justice of the peace as an option, and there's a way that you can go that route and you still have some level of class to it. Why we just always got to find a way to just be tacky with everything? And then it's $250. So why am I considering this drive-through ceremony if I ain't got no car? Y'all remedial this bitch. For extra $60. So you done found another way to beat me in the head to get me to spend more money. Because for extra money now, I don't care if it was extra 50 cents, I can now rent a convertible. And a convertible makes sense because it's open. I ain't got to worry about how close I'm driving up to the window. I ain't got to worry about people to see my future spouse in the passenger seat. It's just like, no. So now you're not only pushing for people who drive to do this, but people who don't, because you have a remedy for those who don't drive. No, the tackiness has to stop somewhere.
Vivian, do it or don't do it?
Don't do it. That's the exact word that came to my mind. That is so tacky. Now, I get it. When I was getting married, just looking for the wedding cake. If you get a cake, period, costs $25. You put the word wedding in front of cake, now they're charging you $250,000. And it don't make no sense. I get it. But a drive-through, that is tacky. That is tacky. Don't do that.
Okay. I laugh because it ends up being like everything else. My theory is it don't mean nothing to you no way. So go on a rowboat. What's the difference? You know, if You know, I do understand that there are people who don't want to go the big and the elaborate for several reasons. You know, some people just don't like, you know, like big and elaborate. Other people just don't want to go through the expense, and I can understand that too. You know, it's because you got to be able to afford it. And what I'm finding now, more people are going to the Justice of the Peace with this plan on doing it again later. My thing is, once I'm married, I'm married. I ain't doing it twice. That's just, if I can't wait and get it done the big way, the way I really want it, I ain't going twice. Why are we so desperate to get married? We're going to go one time, and then we're going to go back later when we can afford it. Let it be what it is. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. No big deal. My thought is, you know, if for people, I was laughing because y'all were saying tacky. For people who are willing to go this route, you know, what do you say? It's just, like I said, you know, some people, they just, you know, they just are impulsive. This would allow them to do what they do. They're not really giving marriage vows or marriage itself. And I'm finding that a lot of people are putting more into the wedding than they do the marriage anyway. So, you know, this is a quickie way to get it done. Let's drive through, grab it, keep it moving. You know, it's no big deal. And that's why I'm thinking of the way they think of the marriage. A lot of people don't think of marriage as being anything, you know. So let's just do it the drive-through way. So that's why I was like, well, what's the big deal? You know, half the time people are not, you know, marriage ain't nothing but a piece of paper. That's what they say, right? So if it ain't nothing but a piece of paper, then driving, putting your foot on the brake until somebody, it's like when you go through McDonald's or any other drive-through. You know, each point you got to stop and wait until the other person in front of you gets their stuff, and then you can move on. So I'm like, okay, well, if that's the way they're thinking about it anyway, and that's the way they're treating the marriage anyway, as though it's a drive-through marriage, then go ahead and get the drive-through, you know, wedding. What's the big deal? You know, but y'all should hear how y'all sound when y'all talk about tacky, and Vivian breaking it down, tacky, that is hilarious. So my thing is, go ahead, do what you do. You know, if you're real about it, then is God going to look at it any other way? Then, you know, is he going to look at it? Well, you know, you went through a drive-by, so I'm not considering that being married. Is that what he's going to say? You know, my question is, what does God say? So if y'all ain't thinking nothing about the marriage anyway, and y'all only going to be in it for hot 5 minutes, and go ahead, spend the hot 5 minutes to drive through the drive-through. So, oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We got a couple of minutes, ladies, to actually have a small discussion. And it's interesting that we ended up here because I had this from last week. And the question is, what good qualities are we looking in a man or looking for to get in out of a man before we even start dating him? And one of the things is that he is a respectful man. Shantish, you got first dibs on this one.
Have to make sure he's respectful. Paying attention to who he respects. You know, I've been noticing that especially women have been saying a lot more lately, you know, pay attention to, and actually men, I've been hearing both saying, you know, make sure you pay attention to how he treats his mother, how he treats his sister, how he treats his daughters, you know, and now with you, how he treats other female friends he may have, you know, and now you're coming into the picture. Don't think you're going to be some special type of exception if he's not treating the women he already has in his life wrong. You're not going to get anything outside of that. So really paying attention to how they treat and respect the women that's already in their lives.
All All righty. Vivian, how important is respect?
Very important. I remember when I was dating, one of the guys said something about slapping me, even if it was jokingly. And I was like, oh, that's the end of that. I don't play that. Nope. So, very important. Make sure that he is respectful to you. In this day and age, you ain't meeting nobody who ain't already got kids, so make sure he respects his children. He respects the baby mama. That respect is very important, because what he'll do to one, he will do to you. So make sure that he is respectful.
Lady Tamika, what say you? We're talking about respect before you date him. He needs this quality.
That is so crucial. You know, pay attention. You know, don't, oh, he's so cute. You know, but you're not paying attention to what he does and how he does it. You know, who he gets credence to. You know, who he respects and how he respects. You know, just because, you know, he and his, and I'm not saying this is all situations, but, you know, he calls his sister out of her name. Don't be surprised one day when now he's not talking about the sister. He's talking about you. You have to be very, very careful. Watch what's going on. Oh, well, it's just that one situation. Be very careful, because you never know when that same situation will ricochet and now you're the one that's being offended.
All right. Vivian, this is the one that's going to, you're going to give us before you have to check on out of here. They say be very careful that he is emotionally available before you date him. How crucial is that?
I think it's crucial. I think it's very crucial. We're in a time now where everybody's talking about their mental health and, you know, things like that, going to therapy and trauma healing and things like that. And if he's not emotionally healthy and stable, it's just going to cause too many problems in your relationship. He don't know how to express himself. He don't know how to properly talk to you, because there's so many things that he hasn't dealt with that needed to have been dealt with before y'all got together. So make sure that he is taking that seriously before you tie yourself to this person, because it's only going to cause you unnecessary drama and pain at the end of the day.
Okay. You may have time for one more round. Lady Tamika, make sure he's emotionally available.
Definitely. I look at relationships, and you know I'm good for using examples. Imagine getting a job and the employee just left. There's all kinds of unfinished business. So now you've got to do the job, not just your job, but you've got to backtrack with all of the paperwork that needed to, you know, and in some places there's no files, there's no documents. You got to figure it out on your own. And it's a hard job. It's one thing to do your job, but it's another thing to try to undo all of the damage that's transpired. It's the same thing with the relationship. He's completely unavailable. You don't understand what's going on. You can't put these pieces together. You don't have any background work to go with. You know, you're just starting from scratch. And not only are you starting from scratch, you're starting behind the ball, because, you know, the ball's already been rolling and you don't have all of the pieces to put together. This is what you're putting yourself into in a relationship. Oh, again, here we go. Oh, he's so cute. But now you've got chaos because you've decided to say I do to a relationship that you should have looked at prior to. Now you're stuck. You know, so, you know, I think it's very, very crucial that you look at all of the signs. We often talk about red flags. Be cautious, be careful, be guarded. And of course, by all means, use God with wisdom when you're making these decisions.
Okay. Well, Vivian, we thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. Have a good day, lady.
Thank you. Shantees, they're talking about being emotionally available, making sure he's emotionally available. What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness. Making sure that he's open to learning how to have a good emotional balance. Because what I've also been learning about men is that there's some big crybabies. And it's because they don't care to learn how to, like, when it's time to express how I feel, what I should be expressing, why I should be expressing it. It's just, I just want to wear my heart on my sleeve. I want to show how I'm feeling, even if it's the most serious thing. If it makes me upset, I want to show how angry I am. But then you don't want any type of help. Like, you don't want no answers. You just want to be able to just show emotion. And it's like, I don't understand how that works. So if a man is not willing to learn that there's a time to cry and a time to get over it, then that ain't the man for you.
All right, all right. Lady Tamika, they say you should make sure he is hardworking.
Yeah, that's important, you know. we're talking about a situation where he wasn't working before. You didn't take the initiative to see what's going on. Are you comfortable with sitting at home? You know, you get to go to work. You talk to him before you go to work. You go to work, he's home before you leave, you know, and then you talk to him when you're at work, he's still at home. You know, and then when you go home, you call him again, and he's still at home. So you're not working. You're not trying to find a job. You're comfortable with finding a job. We've often talked about, you know, the pass on. You know, mom didn't think that it was important enough for you to find a job. Then you now you're with me, and we're in a relationship, and you're like, oh, well, can you loan me $50? $50 for what? Wait a minute. You don't have a job. You're not trying to find a job. You don't have any type of, and I'm not saying that having assistance is the be-all, but even in the process of you trying to find the resources, right? Did you lose your job recently? Are you on unemployment? Can you support yourself? Are you looking for me to support you? All of those questions are things that we have to be careful for, because when we say yes to this relationship and providing, yeah, the first couple of months, we might say it's okay. But after a while, it's going to get real trials.
All righty. Shantees, they say he needs to be hardworking.
Yes, he needs to have some great, great work ethic. He needs to understand what he needs to be working on. Because, again, you got the men who love to work, but it don't matter what they're working on as long as they're working. And you're like, bruh, you're going in the wrong direction. That all that hard work you're putting in is going to come up null and void. Nah, but I'm putting in this work. I'm doing it. Okay. So when God says, great. But that's not what I have for you to do. And now you're sitting here and you're going back to not being emotionally stable. Now you're crying over everything because you ain't listen. And you didn't make sure that your hard work was in the right areas. Now you're all jacked up. So it's not enough, ladies, that the man is just hardworking. Because I'm watching men work really hard to be disobedient. They are working really hard to go in the opposite direction of what God wants them to go in. So, yeah, they're willing to get up out that bed and punch that clock. They're willing to fill out that job application. They're willing to work those extra hours. They're willing. But it ain't the work that God needs them to do. And you might as well be sitting on the couch and then being a man that Lady Tamika just explained. Because in the
wow.
end, there's really no difference.
Interesting, very interesting. Well, thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation on this Wow Wednesday. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. We haven't been together in a little while, so let's take this opportunity to go before the Lord, hold hands and hold hearts. I haven't held your hand in a minute, and I haven't held your heart in a minute, so I want to do so now. So let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you have been an awesome, awesome, awesome God as you have invited us into your today. And we're grateful to Heavenly Father that we've been allowed to be a part of today, April 24th, 2024. And we're coming before you, dear Heavenly Father, as humbly as we know how. And God, we thank you for just being in our right frame of mind. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have a platform that we can come to and just minister for you. Thank you for choosing us to be your mouthpiece. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we have given everything as you have instructed, and that your people will grow from what they've heard and have been given today. We pray, God, for every listener. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they will not just be hearers, but they would be doers of your word, dear Heavenly Father, and they would be able to decipher exactly what it is and how each of these things work for them, because nothing in this life is cookie cutter that we all have to apply, but maybe not the same exact way. So we pray, God, that you give discernment and understanding and wisdom so that everyone could carry out what you have so eloquently did. We thank you, God, for another day. Another day's journey, an opportunity to get it right, another day where you've invested in us, another day where you've shown us love and kindness and goodness. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will learn to give this to our brothers. We will learn to give this to our sister, that your Bible says that we need to outdo one another in love, that we're not looking for what we can get, but we're looking for what we can give. We're thanking you, God, that you are a continuous God. You just continue to do what you do. You never disappoint. You never go back on your word. How can we not serve you, God? And I'm lifting up everyone who has not quite made that decision yet, who's still on the fence as to which way they should go, who still wants to live but doesn't want to give their life to you. Those who don't understand the sacrifice that was made. Those who don't understand that Jesus shed his blood for us long before we were even thought about. That it is because of him that we even have a right to the tree of life. Asking you to touch those hearts. Asking you to touch those minds. Asking you to just help them cross over that threshold. Everyone who's heard your word, that they would allow it to grow inside of them, that they're not moving too fast, that they're not speaking too loud, that their ears are not closed, that their eyes are not closed, but if they say they want to be better, if they say they want to do better, if they say they want to have better, if they say they want to know what it's like to be on your side, if they say they want their children to have a better life, if they want their marriage to be enhanced, if they want, you know, to get a better paying job and to, you know, have more responsibility, then all that stuff comes from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from you. And we might have that good job, but we don't want to be satisfied with good. We want to have great. We want great. We don't want to be a good parent. We want to be a great parent. We want the enhanced ID. We don't want the standard ID. We want the identification to you that's enhanced. We ask you to just touch us for the rest of the day. Just continue to speak in our ear. Continue to speak to our hearts. Continue to show us things that our eyes will see. Help us to decrease so you might increase in our lives. And we can have a much better later than we did earlier. As you spare our life, we give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's like amazing that God helps you make like these connections to him and his word. And, you know, as we were talking about, you know, the drive-through wedding and, you know, what we look for in a man before we start dating, some might say, well, how are we going to learn before we start dating? Well, that's why being friends, that's why it's so crucial to be friends. Because as you're walking in the friendship mode, you're actually learning, if you're paying attention, that is, you're actually learning about this individual and they're learning about you. I always say, you know, I remember my grandma used to say, group date. And you know, you as a young person, you're like, no, I ain't going on no date with other people. You know, it just, things just didn't click back then. And as I, you know, got old and actually gave my life to the Lord and actually started counseling couples and things like that, all this stuff just started coming back to me and it made even more sense than it did earlier. And I always like to think that you can find out a whole lot about a person sitting across the table from them. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the girl who, you know, at the table, her boyfriend leaned over and said, you know, can you loan me money and I can put in a third with the other guys. And she knew he didn't have it. And she embarrassed him by offering to pick up the one third of the tab. And are you sitting across from that table watching him? And every time y'all go out as a group, he ain't never got no money? Or he only got what he got? Or he's trying to, you know, excuse why you shouldn't pay, you know, or tip the server? And is he cheap? You know, what can you find out at that table? Listen to his conversation. Or listen to her conversation. If all he talks about is himself, or she talks about us, or the things that come out of their mouth is empty. It doesn't go anywhere. All these things you can find out before you start dating. As the lady said, you know, there's this big thing with the way he treated his mama, the way he treated his sister. Watch for that. As you talk to people and, you know, ask those questions. So, you know, what's your relationship with your mom? Or, you know, when was the last time you saw your mama? That is a good question. When was the last time you spent time with your mother? Yeah. All these kinds of things you get to know before you start dating. And I think that this part is so quickly glossed by that you end up in a relationship before you realize he is not respectful, before you realize he is not emotionally available, before you realize that he is not hardworking, or, as Shanti said, he's working hard, but it's like he's spinning his wheels. He ain't doing nothing. He ain't going nowhere, and he can't see it, but you can. These are all the things you get to know in the friendship, during the friendship time. And if you haven't learned yet that you need to just be friends first, then you're going to come up with a lot of heartache and a lot of disappointment. I think this is just, this is old news now. You know, if you're about 20, of course you don't know anything about this, but come on, when you're 40 and 50 years old and you still doing the same things that you did years earlier, then, you know, you're going to get what you get. But even at 40 and 50 years old, the friendship thing is crucial. I mean, over this weekend, I think my grandmother, because, you know, her and my mother, they said things that just stuck. You didn't realize it stuck, but it stuck, because when you're looking at things and when you think about things, like they're saying will come to your head. And this weekend I thought about her and somebody I know, you know, he's seeing a woman. And I could hear her now saying, don't you go over there for those dinners. Don't go over there for the, they'll be inviting you for breakfast or lunch. Stay from your leg. That's what she said. Keep your legs from underneath her table. Oh, golden, golden, golden. And again, you don't think about these things. You think, you know, she's inviting you over to dinner, and, you know, does she invite you over to breakfast? Inviting you over to lunch? Stay out of people's house. Stay out of people's houses. Because, see, you are not going to understand how respectful they are. You're not going to get to see if they're hardworking. You're not going to get to know, you know, all the little things if that's where you are already. They inviting you over, and they feeding you. And now you look and think about how good of a cook she is, opposed to think about some other things you need to be thinking about. And then, you know, you end up, your belly is full, and you end up staying late and getting tired, and then you're falling asleep, and then, you know, she got the pillow and the blanket the next time for when you come over and she didn't send you and you too tired to go home. See, all this stuff, let me tell you something. The enemy is so crafty. And now that I am 57, you know, it didn't take me till 57 to learn, but now that I'm 57, boy, it's like you can see it coming a mile away. And younger people always think you're going the extra mile. Oh, Miss Stephanie, oh, Miss Steph, you just think that, you know, Pastor Steph. No, I see it. And when this weekend, I looked at the person, I just bust out laughing. And I was like, she should be telling you that right about now. And you understand why. And, you know, we talked about just a few qualities, but all those qualities that you really need to look for, you miss. When you go in one direction, it's so easy to miss. And it's so subtle. It seems so innocent. But can I tell you that the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy? That's his only job. He is not coming to give you a scratch. He's not coming where you can go and get stitches. No, he's not looking for you to, he's not looking to break your arm. He's looking to take your arm off your body. He's looking to detach your leg from your body. He's looking to rip your heart out. He is looking to not just give you asthma. He's looking to take your breath away. He is coming to destroy you. That's why, to me, we can easily get to the drive-thru weddings, because it don't mean nothing. Because you know who goes to the drive-thru weddings? Most people who didn't pass all this little stuff that you need to go through. That stuff has been bypassed. So, again, that's why I say it doesn't even matter. Are we really surprised that there's a drive-thru, you know, wedding with a $50 car rental? Why is a car rental even coming up whether you could drive or not drive? If all I'm concerned about is you getting married and trying to expedite the process, why am I throwing it? Because the enemy knows that anything else to entice you it's worth presenting, and every little thing just takes you off course further and further and further and further. So I promise you, you know, men and women, it's not just the men, it's not just the women, it's men and women. Let's take this time to really pay attention to every single detail. And can I be honest with you? You can. Because, see, when you start this process, put God ahead of the game. Ask God to be your eyes before you get there. Ask God to be your ears before you get there. Ask God to subdue you. So, you know, if I know I'm impulsive, Lord, just keep me, you know, just kind of in a fallback mode. Because God is going to show you exactly what to do and what not to do so that you don't get into those problems. And I just think about how easily it happens. And, you know, I talk to the young people in the congregation, and, you know, I remember saying, God says, listen, this is the way you need to do things. And, you know, everybody was like, oh. But I bet you right now they're thanking God. I bet you right now they're thanking God. Because, you know what, falling back allowed them to see themselves in a different light. See, that's what happens. See, Shantice always talks about you can't have but one struggle at a time. Well, here's what happens when you have this friendship mode. You see the struggles. You don't marry the struggles and then you complain about the struggles. Ah, be smart. Go through the friendship mode and you ain't got to worry about marrying the struggles. Because God would have already allowed you to see the struggles. And there's just some things you're not going to tolerate that God is going to, you know, kind of let you know it's not what you're looking at, or you're looking at it wrong. Or you know what you're saying that exactly right, wrong. That's not for you. That's somebody else. I got somebody else for that. But this one here, that's not for you. Do we give God an opportunity to tell us this one ain't for you? Oh, does that happen? And do we turn our ear? Do we turn a deaf ear? Do we turn it off? Do we not want to hear God? God says, there's somebody for him or there's somebody for her, but it's not you. Doesn't mean that God is going to leave that person without someone, but it means that there's a little more time God may be dealing with them before he allows that person to become their friend. And now they are partnered up properly. Are you willing to be partnered up by God, or do you want to make all the decisions? Because, boy, we see what's happening with all the decisions. So it's up to you. So come on, let's pay God a little more attention. Let's get those qualities in our front view. Not in our rear view, not in the side view mirrors, but see them through the windshield. See them through, you know, as you're coming up to it. And you won't be shocked or disappointed. Okay? Because it'll look just like a regular person. The same way you have struggles is the same way he has struggles or she has struggles. And you'll be like, okay, you know what? That's a struggle. So if you're a friend, maybe you can help them with that struggle. And maybe you know, God is helping you mold, you know, from heaven. You're doing it on earth. But inviting him over to dinner, breakfast and lunch, or going over to her for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, nah, that ain't the mold. That is not the move. Stay out of that house. Keep your legs from underneath that table. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the ladies, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Tomorrow, Thursday at 7:30, my two cents on YouTube Live, a Closer Walk Christian Talk Show, or Coach for Christian Life Facebook Live. We will be reviewing, it's right on the tip of my tongue, Cleaning Lady, the series Cleaning Lady. We will also be reviewing the movie Chisholm, Shirley Chisholm, and that's a Netflix special. So you can find the Cleaning Lady on HBO Max, and you can find the Shirley Chisholm movie starring Regina King on Netflix. So hopefully you'll join us, God spares. But before then, it will be Therapeutic Thursday. Until then, God spares. I love you.